Every tragedy of moral failure, every tragedy of broken home, every tragedy of ruined lives is a result of yielding to some type of temptation. Therefore, it's pretty important. And after the baptism of our Lord, the first thing the Holy Ghost of God records, written in red in the Bible, is the temptation of our Lord. And I want us to look at that. I started last Sunday morning, told you it'd take me some time, and it may yet take me some time, but I'm going to try to go quickly this morning and share some things with you about this thought. Notice, if you will, I've said Matthew chapter 4. Will you look there with me? I'm going through a series. If you've just tuned in the internet or radio, or you are in the building for the first time, not here last Sunday or the last few Sundays, I've been felt impressed of the Lord to go through and preach on written in red, the words of Jesus in the New Testament, written in red in His own words. Now, you understand and I understand, I want to reiterate this over and over again. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, so on. It is God-breathed, all the Bible. That means from Genesis to the book of Revelation, first verse, last verse of the Bible. It's all God's Word breathed. There are recorded conversation, recorded statements of other people, or the Holy Ghost of God chose to put in the Bible. But God speaks throughout this whole Bible. But and it's just not what Jesus said in red. God's Word is real. If it's spoken through a prophet, if it was in one of the Old Testaments or in the New Testament. And so it's all the Word of God. But I just felt led of the Lord to deal with the words of Jesus in red. And so with that said, I want us to read this context again in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, I drew a circle around that word if in my Bible. That's the challenge that I dealt with last week, that the whole thing, every era in any type of religion always has that beginning. And it is their questioning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he God or not God? Was he God incarnate in human flesh? Was he perfect? Is he our only hope? Is Jesus the only Savior of the world? And that's where it all stems from. And if the devil wants to challenge that, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, here's the first statement. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. The devil tries to twist the Word of God and use the Word of God even against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the fallacy of not understanding the whole body of Scripture and understanding what God's saying and not try to force it to say what you want it to say. But then notice in verse number 7, Jesus' second response, and Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, the third statement, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, once again, I want to thank you for a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the faithfulness of God's people, for their hard work. Our Father, I know that many were up at daylight on their way to work, worked all day, then came out and stayed till 9 o'clock at night. God, I'm so very thankful for their faithfulness. Thank you, our Father, for those boys and girls who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and for those who were helped to grow spiritually and for the adult class, Brother Brad and all those who taught in there. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the many adults who came that were blessed through the Word of God. And I pray, God, now that you just blessed this time together. Our Father, I want to thank you that you did love us. And God, we still believe the Bible. We still believe that God's real. We still believe the devil's real. We still believe that hell's real. We still believe that heaven is real. And our Father, we do have an adversary. We do have one like a roaring lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be mindful of him and not be ignorant of his devices, but God, understand some of the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil, that we might know how, our Father, to resist temptation. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help me. I pray, God, for your anointing this morning. God, I pray you'd purge my mind and heart. God, I pray you please not let me be distracted mentally. I pray, God, you touch me physically, touch me spiritually, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, they'll not hear your words this morning, but the Holy Ghost of God will speak to the heart of those in the media audience and in this building. I pray, God, for the presence of God to be real. Lord, thank you for what you did for us on the cross. And that, God, written in blood, that our redemption's been paid for, and that, God, we can have victory through that blood. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is Lord this morning. We acknowledge that. We confess that. And I pray, God, for your dear people. Our Father, as a pastor, God, I hate to see God's people broken. I hate to see them, our Father, sidetracked and defeated and discouraged and Lord, problems in their home and family. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, help us now. And God, I pray that you'd move and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look at this matter of Jesus' temptation. Isn't it interesting that in the beginning of the recorded life of our Lord, it does not begin with miracles. It does not begin with some super spectacular thing. The first recording of his beginning of his ministry outside of his baptism is when he is led of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be dealt with or be tempted by the devil. And I think that is an example to us. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what he's saying to us is this, that when you get saved, the Bible calls it a new birth. You are born again. How many of you know that when you have a baby, you anticipate a baby for 9 months, the baby is born, everybody's happy. It is a wonderful thing, but that is not the end of the story. There'll be many a night that you'll be up. There'll be a lot of things that you have to deal with in your life as a child. And when they are children, and then as they get to be teenagers, it's a long process. But you know, there's a lot to it. Well, when you get saved, Brother Avery Rogers used to make this statement, it takes God a long time to grow a Christian. Doesn't take long to get saved. Boys and girls, men and women who realize that they're lost and on their way to hell, if by faith they're turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't get saved next week, they get saved right then. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And so that birth process is instantaneous. Now understand this, there have been many preparations prior to that time. There's been the prayer of God's people, moms, dads, grandparents, people that don't even know them. You prayed for children in Vacation Bible School that you don't know them, did not know them, and you still don't know them. But you prayed earnestly that God would move, and God heard and answered prayer. And so when you understand that as a Christian, you've got a long road ahead of you. And one of the things that I believe God in his divine providence and putting the Word of God together wanted to make you and me understand that what began when we got saved, we were born again by the grace of God and we're saved for all eternity. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You will forever be saved. You have forever forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rest of your earthly life will be a battle. The enemy doesn't take long to show up after you get saved. If you decide I'm going to live for God, I'm going to get right, he'll show up before you leave there. And the rest of the time, you're going to have to deal with him for the rest of your life. And the Holy Ghost of God had, I want to say a word in the beginning here of this passage of Scripture and reiterate just a few things I said last week. And that is, first of all, I'm interested in the extent of this, the temptation of our Lord. When you read the book of Matthew, it says he fasted for 40 days and then the devil came to him and we have this recorded conversation. But I want you to understand that in the book of Mark, in chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and Jesus was led into the wilderness of the Spirit, and there for 40 days he was tempted. The devil didn't sit back and watch him for 39 days. I mean, from the get-go, he was dealing with him. I mean, he was battling against him. All types. The experience of his temptation was not just for that brief little time that conversation recorded for us. It had begun before that. It had begun even before that. I'm convinced that as a child, the devil warred against the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the time he's 12 to 30 years old, we don't have any recording, but I'm guarantee you he dealt with the devil through there. But now notice this, the extent of it. Turn over in the book of Hebrews and let me show you this statement. I quoted for you last Sunday, and for those of you who were here, it's a little bit of a repeat, but I feel like we just need to set the stage for where I'm going this morning. Notice in the book of Hebrews, it gives us this statement about our Lord, and if you will, look with me at chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to read there in that verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest, that is, Jesus is our high priest, which cannot be touched or identified or feel as we feel. How many of you have loved ones who are suffering and you're suffering? I talked to Catherine this morning and I could tell in her voice she was feeling what Gwen's feeling. And you do, those, and Ms. Mary, those who, and all of us who are so very close to her, and for Pokey, when Pokey was in the fellowship hall when she first heard about her sister, the ladies there and the folk there, they felt what she felt. And the Bible said, you and I ought to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. But I've said this to you, the only person who can weep on cue and rejoice on cue are actors. That's not what he's saying. He said, you need to be so closely connected with the body of Christ that when they hurt, you hurt. And when they rejoice, you rejoice. And the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ is touched. He senses your struggles. You say, Brother Billy, nobody knows the secret that I keep in my heart. Nobody knows the struggles going on in my mind. Nobody knows the war I'm having with Satan, but he does. He feels it. Notice what it says. It says in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says that Jesus Christ in his 33 years on this earth, that he was tempted in every way you've ever been tempted. Every kind of temptation. Your temptations when you're younger are a little bit different than when you get a little older, and when you get older, and when you get older, but you still have them. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. Sin, temptation is not sin. It is a response to that temptation that is sin. Jesus Christ experienced all the emotions, all the struggles, all the battles that we experience. Let me show you also in the same passage of Scripture when he's talking here. He says that he's able. No, it says that he was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. He did not sin. He did not commit any sin. And I talked to you last week about what it says in the book of John. There is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Those three things. And whatever it is, and it may be of a sexual nature. It may be of every lie comes because Satan tempts you to lie. Every wicked thought because Satan does that. And Jesus experienced every bit of that. Every bit of that. It's hard for us to conceive that. But the Bible said he went through every one of them. And it did not quit at the garden. And matter of fact, when it says here over in the book of Luke, it says the devil left him for a little season. He just kind of backed off a little bit. And when I read that, I got to thinking about that old trick you do, and you're showing people, illustrating something, and you tell them, say, I'm going to push you now. I want you to be ready. And so what you do is you push on them like that, and they're rigid, and they relax. And this, as soon as they relax, you push them again. And you teach them a lesson. that you'll be prepared for battle, but don't get too relaxed because another one's coming just quickly. And my dear friend, Satan will not quit on you. I wish I could tell you that you would get to the place where you don't have to deal with temptation or battle of the flesh, but you're not. And matter of fact, the closer you get to him, the more intense it'll get. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to battle you. He's going to be dealing with you all the way through. The example of our Lord as temptation, I won't take time to deal with all of that. But I want to come down to this thought. Go over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all point like as we are, yet without sin, it would mean that he knows that you're going to be tempted and I'm going to be tempted. And there's a lot of temptations the devil wants to seduce us to do. The word temptation in the Bible is used two different ways. One is that which is aimed towards spiritual growth. The Bible says the Lord did tempt Abraham. Now he did not, and James says that God didn't tempt any man with evil. That word, when it's translated there to tempt, it means to prove or to improve. It is the process through which we go. The Bible talks about the trial of our faith. That word trial is much like the word temptation. It is the refining of us. And so God will put us through some things, and we call them temptations, but it's not what we would say is a solicitation to do evil. Satan's the one who wants us to do evil. Now, let me define evil. Evil is an act of disobedience to God. It may say, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. But it also says this, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do everything for the glory of God. And there are things that we are to do that Satan would tempt us not to do. If you're supposed to tithe and you don't tithe and you rationalize and the devil fights, he'll tempt you. He'll tell you that you can't live if you tithe and you're going to go broke and all these other things. And he'll warn you. He's going to tempt you not to obey God. And then he's going to encourage you to do wicked. And so look in the book of First Corinthians, and I call your attention in this passage of Scripture. I want you to look at chapter number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. That means mankind. That means men and women. And temptation is a common thing among human beings. I asked Brother Avery Rogers one time how old you had to get before you quit having temptation. He was 80-something years old. He said, you got to ask somebody older than me. Dr. B.R. Lakin was riding with somebody in a car one time, and they were addressing the thing of problems and battles in life. And he said, Dr. Lakin, when is it that you get to where you get to a spiritual point where you don't have those? They just happened to be riding by a cemetery, and Dr. Lincoln pointed over there and he said, right there is where you leave your problems behind. That's it. I remind you that Paul said that when this body is sown, it's going to be sown a corruptible body. Not only physically corruptible, but morally corruptible. It has the capability of sin. And you're going to have it until you die. But now notice, he said in verse number 13, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Every man's going to have it. You're going to go through it. Either Satan's going to tempt you to do wicked or not to do what God wants you to do. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with every temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Can I tell you that there is a way out of it? And God promised that whatever temptations come in your way, that God is going to be with you in it, and He's got a way to get out of it. Now, let me just quickly, and I'll just give these, and there again, this is going to be it's in my heart, because this is something that every one of us deal with. How is it that what is the escape of temptation? Now, that word escape does not mean the avoidance of it. Doesn't mean you're going to, I'm going to say something, may sound contradiction just a moment, but it does not mean that you're ever going to get to the place when you're not tempted. But it has to do with this idea of you can not yield to it. You can escape it, not the presence of it, but the performance of it. You're going to have it, but there's escape. There's a way that you don't have to yield to it. Now, how is that? Now, will you make these few notes just real quick? Because I can't elaborate on them. But in the first place, I want you to make this little note. And in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and you can just write that down, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and then in Galatians 5, verse 16, and I'm going to share those with you. Number one, the example of our Lord in temptation. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, that he, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness. Jesus didn't go in there spiritually anemic. How many of you know that you take certain things to boost your immune system? You have to take, they suggest you take all these things to boost your immune system. Now, why do you do that? You do not do that to battle a current disease. You do that to protect you from a future disease. You do not wait till you're in trouble to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus went in there full of the Spirit of God. I'd suggest to you, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you are a prime candidate to yield to temptation. Jesus said this, without me you can do nothing. You and I need to maintain, we cannot coast as a Christian, you can't get by as a Christian. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. In the book of Galatians, I gave you chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's kind of like this. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're walking with Him. The devil wants you to go this way, but you know, how many of you know you can't go two ways at the same time? If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're walking with Him and you're obedient to Him, you're not going to obey the flesh or the devil or the world. And so it is imperative that you understand this in the very beginning, that if you're saved by the grace of God, you need what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody who ever got saved has the Spirit of God living on the inside of them, but everybody who got saved is not controlled, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The illustration is this. He said, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're full of wine, if you're drunk with wine, you're controlled by that wine. It will affect your speech. It may be slurred speech. It may be babbling. It may be contrary. It could be anything. But it will affect your speech. It'll affect your walk. If you're controlled by alcohol, your walk is unstable, unsturdy, or whatever, and it affects the way you walk, and so on. All those different things. And when you come to the point of being full of the Holy Ghost of God, it will affect your speech. It will affect your walk. It'll affect you in every way. And when you need to go into your daily life asking God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Second thing is this, is the Word of God. He said, in all three occasions when the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus quoted a scripture. And he quoted a scripture. It is written, it is written, it is written. And my dear friend, the Word of God is imperative in your life. I've said that over and over again, and some of you still don't read until you come on Sunday morning. You need to read the Word of God. You need to read. I used to tell my mom and daddy, I thought, I've said this, and I repeat myself, but I'm old, and you can take that's okay. When I was a boy growing up, I thought eating and sleeping was two of the biggest wastes of time in the world. I did not want to go to bed, and I hated to come in and eat. Now, I love to eat, but I didn't. Man, I was playing. I was doing something. I was outside, and I just hated to have to come in the house and eat. I've gotten to where I like to do both those pretty well now. But I'd say to Mom and Daddy, I am not hungry. And Daddy would all say this, you don't eat to keep from being, you don't eat because you're hungry. Eat to keep from being hungry. Now, he didn't. I knew what he was saying. I didn't understand it then. But your body has cravings. And, you know, all these weight loss people, they tell you the reason you eat sugars and this, that, and the other, because your body's craving something. And you're giving them some substitute that's not what your real body's craving. You know, there's certain nutrients that you've got to have. I've seen dogs go out and eat dirt, eat grass and all those things. There's reason for all that. But at any rate, what I'm saying to you, that there are needs in your physical body that you have to have certain nutrients to give you strength and stability and boost your immune system. The Word of God is like that. You may eat it, you may read it, you may listen to it, and right then it doesn't hit you. Right then it doesn't do anything. I mean, you like me, you go through and you got a special on at Bojangles, you get 2 for 1. I go home and eat that, and I say, hey, I just got through eating 2, you know, bacon egg, 2 sausage egg, 2 ham and eggs, and I didn't gain a pound. But the next morning, I don't know what happens. It grows. And you eat and you enjoy everything, and next thing you know, just there it is. I mean, it wasn't there yesterday, but there it is now. It shows up. Because when it goes through all the digestive systems and everything, and it's assimilated into your body, and what's good for protein or what's good for you, and what amount of you're going to burn, that's okay. But what you don't, it's got to store somewhere. Now, listen what David said in Psalms. Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now understand this. It is not the educational value of the Word of God. But you need to know the Word of God. You need to know. I'm talking about, it's a fascinating thing to me to see the geography of the land and all those things, the cultures and things, and all those things are wonderful. But what David's talking about here now is not just a general knowledge of the Word of God. Thy word hath I hid in my heart. And he said, it is not just educational, it is nutritional. Yeah. Wow. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's something about that Word of God in you that works beyond what you don't even comprehend. It is preparing you. God's putting things in your heart, in your life, and it will enable you to stand. How many of you know that when Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, that didn't just pop in his mind. That wasn't the first time, because he gave the Word of God. But what I'm saying to you is this, it was in his heart. It was in his heart. And you get the Word of God inside of you. If you're going to resist temptation, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. But you need to be filled with the Word of God. And the third thing is, and this is so simple, and you say, that's so simple. And it is. You need to pray. Lord teaches to pray. The Lord gave the model prayer. And he said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. You pray like this, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. I have a confidence in my heart that God's Word in me, the Holy Ghost of God in me, and God, he's able to help me. Listen to what it says here in this passage of Scripture. I'll read them for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to deliver you out. You say, Brother Bill, I don't know how am I going to resist this? How am I going to do this, that, and the other? The Lord knows how. And so is your relationship with him, closer to him and more like him. But you pray and you say, God, help me. God, keep me from sin. God, lead me not to temptation. And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself both suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That means to nourish, to strengthen, to enable, to help. Jesus Christ went through all these sufferings so he could help us to get through ours. He knows how to get out. And so you pray and you say, oh, God, help me. God, help me. And then Psalms 94, verses 17 and 18. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You ever feel like I mean, just right on that point, you just before you're going to make that bad mistake, and you cry out to God, and you're like, David, I was almost ready to slip. But when I cried, your mercy held me up. God helped us. And I, my dear friend, he'll help you. He'll help you. If you call on him, he'll help you. When the Holy Ghost of God is in our life and the Word of God is in our life and we look at the Lord and say, God, if you don't help me, I will. Prayer. Pray about everything. Pray about it. If there's something questionable in your life, you ask God, is it his will? And then you ask him, will you bless it? Over 50 years, I've heard everything that, I'm not sure I have, but I've heard most everything there is to hear. I've had people to tell me that the Lord led them into an adulterous situation. They just felt like it was the Lord's will. I don't think that's so. Don't believe it's so. Just before you do whatever you're fixing to do, if it's going to be drinking or drugs or sex or lying or stealing or whatever it might be, or whatever it is, if you stop just right there on the brink, just almost ready to slip, and say, oh, God, help me. God, I don't want to mess up. If you'll pray. Now, let me tell you what happens. When people begin to drift spiritually, they're not full of the Holy Ghost of God. They're not full of the Word of God. They don't pray like they ought to. They begin to kind of miss church. They start laying out, they miss Sunday night, Wednesday night, so on, and they don't read the Bible like they ought to. They'll see it laying there, and they walk by it and everything. What happens is they're setting themselves up for a real big fall. I mean, the devil's going to come at you with everything he's got. Is it going to be easy? No. I mentioned these, I'm through. Not only to pray, but to deny. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it said, denying ungodly and worldly lust. You have a responsibility to just say no. No. If you're full of the Holy Ghost of God, if you're full of the Word of God, and if you prayed, he will enable you to do that. And not only to do that, but you're to resist. James said, if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The whole key is this, closer to him, more like him. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, flee from you. We are going to begin back in the fall our recovery program, Overcomers class, for those who face some type of addiction, whether it's drugs or whatever it might be, or those who are going through different types of problems, whether it's excessive grief over the loss of a loved one or depression or whatever, this class will be beneficial to everybody. And there's so much very practical instruction in there that it'll be beneficial to you. But the whole thing is this. You're going to have it. You're going to have these battles. There are some practical things you're supposed to do, but you will not be able to accomplish it without the Lord. Without the Lord. If you're battling some type of addiction, your only hope is Jesus. If you're going to go to heaven, your only hope is Jesus. If you're going through an emotional depression, your only hope is Jesus. He'll help you. He'll help you. God may use means. He may use people. But I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, it's him. It's him. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you, the Bible said. But the first part of that says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Yield to him. You know why? Because Jesus loved you, and he died for you. And he has a prayer for you. Here's what it is. John 17, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have all the things that the devil's telling you something else to give you, but it only come through him. If you have him, if you know him as your personal Savior, then you need to walk in fellowship with him. And these are just a few keys, and I'll elaborate on them a little more later. But you got to do that. just know this, you're going to have it. You're going to face it. And you know, most of the time, temptation's not recognized until it's too late. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, the chains of sin are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to break. And that's the way the devil works. It's just a little bit, little bit, little bit. Next thing you know, there you are, trapped. And that's kind of the way it is with people who are in hell right now. They thought they were going to get saved. Boy, there's a verse in the book of Joel that I read many, many years ago that just resounds in my heart to this day. It said, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. What he's saying is judgment's coming. And there's multitudes that are in that valley of decision. Will they repent? Will they trust Christ? Will they get saved? My dear friend, that day is coming soon. You don't have to be old. The day of the Lord, so far as judgment, so far as death, it's coming soon. And my dear friend, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to do something about that. Right now is the time you turn to Christ. Right now is the time you repent. And for those of us who are saved, I'm going to tell you, it's a battle every day in every area of your life. And we yield to Him in little things, just a little bit increment here, look in a little bit there. And next thing you know, we're in big trouble. Ask God, the Holy Ghost, to help you. Saturate your soul with the Word of God. Be full of the Holy Ghost of God. Resist the devil. Submit yourself to God and deny ungodliness and worldly lust. I just feel like the Lord had me to stop right here, but we're gonna pick up. We'll go on a little later. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the attentiveness of God's people this morning. Our Father, I believe they were listening this morning, not because, Lord, I was speaking, because they know the struggle of temptation. They want help. They need some help. And God, there are friends in here who are guests and visitors. And God, nobody wants to have their life wrecked. Nobody wants to be controlled by anything except God. Everybody wants to feel peace and joy. And our Father, the devil is so deceptive. He'll promise us the world. He promised Jesus the whole world and everything that's in it if he would just worship him. But God, I pray this morning we'll not fall for his tricks. I pray, God, that young and old this morning, the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, at least has put up a red flag. At least has made us aware of the fact that we are under daily assault. And God, we have to be careful. We have to seek your face. We have to seek your guidance. God, forgive us, purge us, cleanse us. God, help to be right with you. And God, I pray this morning for every person here, for every young man, for every young woman, for every teenager, for every young person, for every senior person here. Because in any phase or any stage of their life, the temptations are varied, they're many. But God, they're real. And our Father, for a young person, to yield to the wrong temptation will ruin their life for the rest of their life. But God, you're a God of grace, and I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, God, this morning will help people to know that you are the answer and that you know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But God, you also know how to save and deliver from sin and to give everlasting life. I pray, God, they'd throw yourself on your mercy this morning and be born again by the grace of God. Draw by your grace and save for Jesus' sake. I pray, God, the word will pierce hearts. It'll bring forth fruit. I pray, God, you'd help your people to be mindful, our Father, in every area that we're under assault. And God, that you'll help us. Thank you for the example of our Lord. And Lord, for the fact that you were full of the Holy Ghost and you were full of the Word of God. And you knew that attack was coming and you were ready and prepared. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, you've tempted in all points like as we are. Yet you didn't sin, but you are, because you suffered being tempted, you're able to succor, you're able to help, to lift, to sustain, to keep all of us. We trust you now, Lord. God do a work. Will you stand with your heads bowed, please, friends, for just a moment? Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song or two. And I want to invite you to do this morning. If you don't know Christ, I beg you, in Jesus' name. I've seen what the devil can do with a life, how he can ruin it. And then knowing the Word of God like I know, to know that living a life of 40 or 50 or 60 years just in turmoil, just one tragedy after another, sorrow, problems, sin, bitterness, anger, jealousies, and then to die and be in hell for all eternity. And God, you didn't intend us that for us. God, you intended for us to be saved, have our sins forgiven, have joy and peace, and live a life of victory. And God, then to live with you in heaven for all eternity. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will make that real to somebody this morning in the media audience here in this building. God, I commend them to you that, God, this is your work. I pray, God, you do it. And God, I pray, God, folk in here, Lord, who, Christians, I pray, God, we'd look to you this morning. Ask God, you bless them now. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come, you come get around this altar. If God leads you in any way, you come and gather around here to pray this morning. If I can help you, I'll pray with you. I'll speak to you. Will you come this morning? God's Holy Ghost speak to you. Will you come right now? Let God deal with you. God save you this morning. Will you be obedient to that call to salvation? If you're a Christian, will you obey Him this morning? Know He wants you. Know He wants you to live for Him and to have peace and joy and be full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help us now. God, breathe here in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we even ask or think. God bless our friends. Oh, God, do it now.